ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I'm welcoming you to the show. And on today's episode, we have a conversation with Moshe, who will be with us shortly. And we're going to talk about, can I have it all? And what does that mean, actually? What is that question really asking? So, to get us started today, as you can see from my backdrop, I want to start first with a big thank you. I want to say thank you to all of you out there who have pre-ordered my book. I'm so excited about the release coming at the end of September. I'm excited that I got to actually hold my book for the first time. What a great feeling. I just finished the proof copy. And if you're ever looking for someone to help you get your book published, Stacy Aronson is amazing. You can look her up, and she has been an incredible partner with me, and I'm so excited about this process, which has been phenomenal. So again, thank you to everyone who's pre-ordered. The pre-orders are open and will continue to be open, so if you get a chance, head over to www.adventuresintruth.com, and you can check out the show, you can check out the book, and get your pre-order on, which will be really awesome. And the pre-orders help me a lot in Amazon. So when the book goes live, it'll be a bestseller. So come on down and check it out. If you're curious about the book, I'm going to do a short, very short reading from the book today. I want to share a little bit of it with you. But basically, Fear is a Choice is really about diving into the evolution of fear in our human process. And in the book, we go through how it evolves and how it works, but also a lot of tools for how to shift out of that consciousness of fear into a consciousness of opportunity. So I want to take just a moment here, and not going to be a long one, but I want to give you a little taste of some of what's happening here. I'm reading to you from chapter 15, and it's called You Don't Have to Align, You Get to Align. And just a little precursor, this is a period of time when I was dealing with cancer diagnosis. And I realized sitting in the parking lot that day after leaving the doctor's office that I had been in fear for a long time. I was afraid I would die if I allowed myself to align with my authentic self and live in that truth. I feared being okay in a world without my wife. I also feared my own energy because for too long I had allowed myself to indulge in deep negativity. It was also in the moment that I saw with absolute clarity how all of my choices had led me to this moment, and that I now had a huge choice to make, either step up and into truth, into my truth, walk it in integrity, and course correct so that both of us could release these horrible energies we had embraced, or continue to blame her and all the crap I had made up. In the end, it was absolutely clear that it was time to surrender it all and step into a powerful new clarity. For me, in that moment, I finally understood that what I had been doing was wholly inadequate and not in keeping with what I knew in my heart. It was also not what I had worked so hard to learn and process about myself, my energy, and my life. The choice was clear and obvious because I chose surrender. I chose to stop fighting and resisting. Instead, I chose self. And when I did, the clarity I experienced was visceral. I appreciated with every cell of my body. The uplifting of my being was something I could not ignore or turn my back on. In effect, stepping into alignment with self became a choiceless choice. Even though I had no idea what would come next, I experienced a clarity that only comes when we lose all resistance and allow truth to flood through us. That was the moment I no longer aligned with fear. So I ask you to reach out and pre-order the book. I tell you, it's a life changer. It really is. When you change that relationship with fear, it changes everything. And with that, we're going to carry on with the show. Thank you for being here. I'm going to share my short new commercial and get you all excited, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, we are back. Hi again. And now I'm going to bring Moshe into the show here, looking like he's here and ready almost. And a fine good morning. Good morning, Moshe. Oops, looks like you are muted. Hold on a second. Somehow you are muted.
Good morning. Good morning.
You are. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I love that ad.
That was cool, wasn't it? Yeah, I want to give a huge shout out to Lauren Michaels Harris, who created that for me. LaurenMichaelsHarris.com. Say hi to him. Amazing guy and powerful stuff. But yeah, thank you. This show, that was the 30-second one, and then we'll do the minute one in a little while.
All right.
Good to have you back here with a conversation with Moshe. If y'all haven't experienced our conversations before, Moshe and I have known each other for quite a while now, and many, many years. And we met through another person. Moshe was a client for a while, became a good friend. And over the course of our relationship, we'd have a lot of these kind of conversations, you know, we're kind of processing, talking about spirituality and consciousness. And there would always be this, you know, we really should be recording this, because they would happen kind of spontaneously, you know, they would happen in the moment. And so it wasn't this, let's sit down and record thing. And then flash forward here for 4 years or so. And here we are full circle getting to have these conversations. And for me, it's extraordinary that we're actually doing this. And I marvel, as I do with so many things, that how did we get here? How amazing is this? You know, I mean, and how amazing it is, for those of you who don't know Moshe. Moshe is an incredible business consultant who created and wrote an amazing book called The Amari Wave, which is about transforming business through love. Moshe, do you want to chat a little bit about that with everybody and let them know?
Sure.
A little bit more.
Sure. And it's very much tied into the message of your book about fear being an illusion, and there's much more opportunity when we let that go. And essentially, there's fear-based business, which involves a lot of fighting energy. Let's crush the competition. Let's capture customers. Rather predatory, and it's almost warlike. Yeah. We don't even see it. It's so insidious, we don't even see it. Much like fear in our lives, we sometimes don't even see it. It's just so much a part of how we live in this society. And so I propose an alternative, which I call Amari, that's Latin for love, of businesses being rooted in the uplifting and connecting energy of love. And it's a totally different ballgame. And I do want to clarify, it doesn't require business leaders or anybody to talk about love per se. They can call this grilled cheese. I don't care. it doesn't matter. What matters is they do it. And like you in your reading, it's not that people have to do this, they get to do this.
Yeah.
Because businesses can be successful by being greedy and putting money first and focusing on transactions. Mm-hmm. But they can be more successful if they use the energy of love to imbue everything from the business model, value proposition, sales, customer relationships, all that. So fundamentally, the book is about benefiting, prospering by putting love to work.
Awesome. And the other thing I love about, you know, the perspective is you're talking about fears of choice and the Amari wave. I chose to focus in a very specific personal way. And you have, while the business perspective is very powerful, it's still very personal because those changes have to come through the individuals who are in the positions of power, in the positions of authority. So you're still talking to the same thing, but from a completely different perspective, which I find amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And essentially it's calling bullshit on the idea that business is not personal.
Right.
we are persons. How can it not be? So the line in The Godfather, when The Godfather was talking to Sonny and saying something like, "Don't worry about it. It's nothing personal. It's business."
Yeah.
Yeah. Total BS. Yeah. We're not two different people. And when we act that way, then we're out of alignment. And that's something you address all the time.
Yes. So good. This is great. This is a great start. We're going to segue now into a little moment of focus, and then we're going to dive right into our topic today, which is can we have it all? Which I think that last sentence really begins to launch us into that topic, and you'll see why. But let's get started with a moment of focus. I always like to start the show with some time for us as hosts and as viewers to kind of come into alignment together. And part of that is my desire to support everyone in finding that foundation of transformation in their life. And part of that for me is about using breath. I believe in my own wellness, the pyramid of wellness that I've been creating, that breath is the foundation of our wellness. Breath is the foundation of what we can do to lay an incredibly solid foundation into transformation. Breath is something we do continuously all the time. So if we can learn to engage with and manage and understand a little bit more about how the breath works, we have a huge step or a huge advantage in the process, because that's energy, that's life, that's chi, that's prana, that's all of this wonderful energy that you're taking in, and you're taking it in consciously. Breath is what animates our body. So let's use that breath. Let's work with the breath to take us to the next level. So how we're going to do this right now is I want you to just focus for a moment wherever you are. If you can close your eyes, please do. And just bring your awareness into your body this moment. Right here, right now, wherever you are. If you're in a place that you can't close your eyes, it's okay. You can still bring your awareness inward. You can find something innocuous to stare at, or you can look at a dot on the wall. Anything to bring all the awareness internally as much as possible. And as you're there, just become aware of your breath. Don't engage. Don't just be aware. Just be the observer. Observe how the breath is moving in your body. Observe, am I comfortable how I am? Let your awareness move through your body as you take in every inch of your body, from your toes through the bottoms of your feet, the tops of your feet. Feel awareness as it moves up the legs, through the knees. Just being in awareness, how does it feel? What comes into your awareness as you bring awareness through your body? And as you continue to move up through the hips, letting that awareness fill the entire cavity of your chest and your shoulders, down your arms, up your neck. And then allow that awareness to expand beyond the confines of the physical body, because the body is just holding you here. It's keeping you in the time and space continuum. Let your allness, let your completeness continue to expand, and be aware of how big and huge that is. And now we're going to invoke the breath. And we're going to go through a pattern. We're going to start with an inhale to four, filling completely. And as you reach the top, you'll rest for just a moment, relax the body at the top, and then you'll exhale from the mouth completely to a count of six. And then when you reach the bottom, when you reach empty, I'm going to ask you to relax into empty for just a moment, and then re-engage the inhale, inhaling through the nose to four, again, resting at the top, exhaling from the mouth for six, and resting at the bottom. We'll go through that cycle together. And the reason that we breathe into four and breathe out to six is to purge as much of the old energy and air that may be in the lungs as possible so that you create space for new energy, so that as you bring that air in, you're filling with all of this vibrant life force. And now bringing your awareness to your breath completely. We're going to focus now, inhaling to a count of four. Open and inhale. Two, three, four. Relax into that openness and then release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, pushing all the air out. Six, being aware of the emptiness as you relax your body. And then engage and inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full and relax the shoulders and body as you hold. And then release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, releasing and then resting in empty. Engage the breath. Inhale, two, three, four, and at the top you relax, and exhale from the mouth, two, three, four, five, six, and then relax the body in empty. One more time together, inhaling, two, three, filling all the way, four, relax that and then release it. Exhale from the mouth, four, five, six, and then rest in the empty. And continue the rhythm on your own, allowing and connecting completely with the body. If it's not perfect, don't worry about it. Just focus on the rhythm of the breath, resting at the top, and the full release, purging all of that energy and air out of the lungs all the way to the bottom, letting yourself completely drain, and then finding relaxation in emptiness. Good, and then continue on. And as you do, take these words in. Let them settle where they will. You don't have to do anything with them. Just be with your breath. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And just allow yourself to be in that connected space. And now, as you bring your awareness to the present moment, let yourself become conscious and aware of this moment as you reconnect. Let your eyes open, bring your gaze back into the room, and away we go. Whew. Good job, everybody. Good job. Love that. Just feel everything kind of go. That's such a cool feeling. So, what do you think? Can we have it all? Moshe, talk to me. Talk to me about this idea. Where did this genesis come from? What are you thinking here?
Short answer is yes.
Okay.
It actually came from a call I had with a wonderful coach, professional coach named Kathy Fleming, mm-hmm. based in San Diego. And it was just this awareness that sometimes we, or I in this case, impose struggle and make things harder than they need to be. And implicit in that is the idea that there needs to be an element of hardship. And you and I have talked about this. Maybe it's rooted in my upbringing, past lives, all kinds of things, religion. But now it's seeing that, shining a light on it and calling into question. And I had just this epiphany, like I felt it in my body, a very calm, yes, I can have it all. And it doesn't require letting go of this in order to have that. So it could be abundance in money, in love, and in success, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of what I think is probably the silliest expression that we have in our culture, which is, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, why would anyone have a cake if they couldn't eat it? What's the point?
Because you're baking for the neighbors.
I guess so. But sometimes we in this culture, we have that drilled into our heads. You can't have it, like, don't expect too much. Don't ask too much. Now, this is not permission for narcissism or greed or selfishness. That's not what it's about. It's about manifesting fully who we are, like in the meditation of we are a physical manifestation of the energy of God. And so we have the capacity to do anything. And we all have our special gifts and that facets of God we individually highlight. And within that, there's really no limit to what we can express and realize. So it's that perspective of being whole, and being whole enables us to have it all, to give all and have all. But again, let's not confuse that with having $100 billion in the bank and having whatever these fantasies are of all.
Yeah, let's confuse it for a minute.
Right?
No, and I say that because I want to share with you what I observed my reaction was when I sent you a note and said, hey, what conversation do you want to have today? And you said, can we have it all? And I sat with that for a moment. I actually sat with it for a little while and this is a perfect conversation for small s self, capital S self. Because my first reaction, and it wasn't like I wasn't active in it, but I felt it. And the feeling was I got a little pissed off at the question. And I found myself going, what an arrogant freaking question. Can we have it? I'm so tired of hearing, I can have it all. I can, rah, 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 you know, and I went, wow, what an interesting response to this question. And I never at any point in that particular space ever thought beyond that limited perspective of I was in reaction to, because I think then as I reflected further, I think I had watched a little bit of news and had gotten some of the political stuff that was going on, the RNC stuff or whatever. And I very much see this current administration in that vein and somewhat that we're going to have it all. We're going to take it all. We're going to, you know, whatever it is, it's whether it's money or attention or crowd share, whatever it is. So that filtered through my own consciousness to this kind of limited perspective of having it all. And I really juggled with it for quite a while, dancing around this kind of, wow, what an interesting perspective, because I thought I was going to be coming at this from, and I am coming at this more from that small s perspective, that ego-driven self, that message that has been kind of put out in the world through them, because that message is also something that happens in the ego as well as in the spiritual aspect, but they're from two very different perspectives, as you were outlining when you started talking about it. One is about greed, one is about there's not enough pie for everybody, so I got to get mine, and I'm going to take mine so I get mine, and all of those various, you know, types of viewpoints of what it means to have it all. And that was really where the question, the one segment or one of two segments, because I really didn't know where this was going to go, was, well, what does it mean to have it all? And why would that be a destination? Why would that? And that's where I got stuck in my head. Why would that be a destination? Having it all. What do you get for that? That is entirely a twisted perspective of fighting against the ego and not allowing for all perspective. It's the weirdest thing I think I've ever experienced right now, is fighting against the positive viewpoint of a concept that I didn't at the moment find a positive viewpoint for. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that's a very natural and common response.
Yeah.
It's either latch on to the greed perspective, which is rooted, as you point out, in a scarcity mindset, or so like we're seeing in our current administration, we're seeing that notion of very limited view. I have to take from others. I have to protect, that very fear-based approach. Mm-hmm. So like most things, this one perspective is really fear-based, scarcity mindset.
Yes. If
I have it all, I'm taking it. They won't have enough, and I'm going to take their share, and they're in my way. They're my enemy, that kind of thing. Or it could be based in abundance mindset, which I know you believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and where, of course, I can have it all, so can you, so can everybody. But we don't, the question didn't send you there. It didn't send you to the abundance side of the love-based side. It sent you to the fear-based side. And another perspective is, you can, thinking back to your meditation, is you can, or I believe we can use the word all as a substitute for God.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's saying, can I have God?
Mm.
And do I only get part of God? I only get 10%? Do I get
my
way up? Or, and so 100% is available to us. The reduction of that is just our own stuff getting in the way.
Which is great. And I'm going to continue to throw my stuff in the way because it's not cleared yet. I'm fascinated by what's happening in here. Because I'm looking at this question, what is have it all? And just the idea in my mind of have it all just feels so wrong. It's just bizarre. Like I'm listening to your words and I'm like, yeah. I do fully believe that, and I'm fully on board. And yet the other part of me over here going, really, have it all? Isn't the statement that you need to have it all ego unto itself? Why would you need to question having, why would you even think that having it all was useful? Can you see the energy that's going on here?
Sure.
there's like chastisement. There's all kinds of wildness going on that I'm loving, because I think it really is important to pull this apart, in a really powerful way, because if I'm hitting a roadblock in the idea of having it all, to me that says there's a lot to this topic. Yes. There's a lot here to pull apart and really look at. So,
I want to interrupt.
Please, absolutely.
What comes to my mind is the subtitle of your book. Can you say what that is?
Yeah, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love.
Yeah.
Unraveling the illusion of our separation from love,
which is exactly what we're doing right now with this topic.
Interesting. Unraveling the illusion of our separation from love. So based on that, then what you're saying is that the willingness, maybe it's about the approach to it that I struggle with, is that how can you go to having it all and not be an ego, as opposed to I'm allowing it all, therefore I'm in optimal potential. Does that make sense? If I'm willing to allow it all, if I'm willing to allow God, then things can, then that unfoldment can be a whole different experience. But if I have to have it all, that to me still implies the need to grasp, the need to get, the need to dominate, the need to whatever it takes to have it all.
Yeah. So two things. One is you added a couple words, which totally changed it. You said, I have to have it all. I didn't say that.
No, you didn't.
No, it's not. Yeah, you don't have to. You can. You get to, but they have to. That's where that grasping and that stuff come. I have to have it. And if you go back to what you said about potential and opening up to the possibility of having it all, and that was cleaner for you.
Yeah.
Well, and that's an important step. Once that potential is realized, then you do have it all, right? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, you get to the same point. It's just getting crap out of the way so you can get there.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm taking in what you're saying, and I literally feel like my brain is split in half. And I'm like, yeah, cool, this is great. Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, right. I'm not even talking to the right sides of the brain, but.
How did in your energy work, what do you tell people to do when that happens, when they feel that split?
Observe it largely is the first piece, because it doesn't lead well. For me, the first thing is about observing it and not being in reaction to it. I'm aware that part of me sounds pretty judgy, pretty harsh, pretty angry, the judgmental piece of it's pretty powerful. So recognizing, again, I think that when you're not in the fear place, when you, as I talked about in the reading today, when you recognize that fear is a choice, then you don't have to react to what's happening in your experience. You can observe it because it's attempting to inform something. It's attempting to bring awareness to something. And that something is the conflict that's happening in my own being about this concept of having it all. So that becomes almost joyous for me in a way, and exciting, because while some of it doesn't feel good, and I can still feel that, I am also aware and acutely aware of the larger perspective that I also have. And looking at the diametric or apparent diametric opposites of these two things and thinking, how would I ever bridge the gap between the two? And the answer is, I don't know, because I'm not there yet. That bridge is going to come when it comes. And that's why I'm so willing to just sort of talk about it here in this context, because that's how it's going to shift. And I hope that as we go through this conversation, that you'll see the machinations of your own thought process similarly aligned or not similar, but you'll be able to see that as I'm working through this, as we're talking about this, that part of it is not being in judgment of any of it, but being willing to be honest about all of it. Because it doesn't reflect badly on me that I have that thought. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person because I have a viewpoint about that. It means something stimulated the viewpoint in me. This topic, I have apparently some unresolved energy about, and I want to resolve it. So if I'm going to put resistance into it, I'm not going to get there from here. So if I'm going to now judge myself because I'm having these feelings or having these thoughts, then I'm pushing my resolution away. And what I want to do is I want my resolution to come rushing to me with its arms wide open. Mm-hmm. So I want to stand there and say, okay, here I am. Right now I feel like a dick because I think this is a terrible thing, but it is what it is. And I'm perfectly willing to move. And I'm on both sides of the coin. I mean, I live from the place of that abundance. Yet here in my belief world, there's something that is absolutely clearly in the way of that abundance. Is it big or little? I don't know. It feels pretty big to me, because of it's been with me since I asked, since you and I talked about the topic. So that's kind of fascinating.
And I think what you're demonstrating is really good for listeners and viewers, because we all have reactions to things and sometimes very strong reactions we don't understand. And you're showing, teaching how to allow for that and not force it to shut, like close that voice up. You're knowing it has value, because it'll help you, it informs something, it'll help you work through whatever it is that this is about. And that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and obviously there's some belief that I can't or don't, am not worthy of having it all. Now, where that worthiness is sourced is yet to be determined. But now that I'm aware that that is a component, that means I've yet to, in some fashion or form, I've yet to resolve some piece of worthiness within my own experience.
Yes.
That awareness is pretty profound. You can choose to go in a lot of places with that. I don't see it as a roadblock. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had that little
right.
splinter stuck in there. Because really that could be all it is. I happen to have a little splinter in my forefinger and I wasn't noticing it until I started using my hand more. And all of a sudden I've got this splinter and I'm like, dang it. You know? So it's like that. It's like, this is irritating. Why do I, can I get this? Moshe, would you take out my splinter?
Yeah, well, you're right. First step is knowing there's a splinter there.
Exactly. And that's not normal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the natural state.
And you're already, your energy is already shifting from having it all is wrong to, oh, why can't I have it? What's in my way of having it all?
Yeah.
And I think it'll continue to shift. And maybe I hadn't thought of it this way when I thought of what all was, but having uncomfortableness and judgment and all that stuff, that's part of all too.
Yeah, and I realize that some of the spin cycle that goes on about having it all is, if I have it all, then I have to be responsible for it.
Yeah.
Why the hell do I want all of it? I want what I want. I want the things that, you know, I want things that feel good, or I want things that weird. Because I can't even really say what I want in that direction. I mean, yeah. I can talk about what I want to feel, but when it gets to have it all, there is this connection to seeing pictures of ridiculous wealth, seeing pictures of having too much. Having all is having too much.
Mm.
Why do I want to manage all that? Why do I want my consciousness tied up in all of that? And now I'm questioning whether that's just kind of what's the big phrase now? Spiritual. I can't remember the word. Bypassing. Spiritual bypass. Is that what that is? Making it sound spiritual when it's not.
Yeah.
Spiritual signaling or whatever the hell that is.
Well, I have an experiment we can do real quick.
Let's do it.
Which is, what if the question was, or what if the statement was, I can have a little. Is that okay with you?
First response? Ew.
Yeah.
Not literally. That was when you said that, I went, ew.
Yeah. So that end of the continuum doesn't work.
Have a little. Yeah, because you would think based on the reaction that having a little would satisfy.
Right.
Oh, okay, that's okay. I can deal with that. But no, it's not, that's not it at all.
Right. So the piece that's missing, I think, is the aspect of enough. So for you, having it all is not, the way I know you, it's not going to be a huge fortune. It'll be enough so you can live the lifestyle you want and go where you want and live how you want. But it's not having the money of Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. I don't think that would serve you.
I don't know that I have any, I'm not even sure. Based on what I would observe of what they have to live to have that,
yeah,
doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah. So I guess when we think of all, we think of everything in the universe, mm-hmm. all the power, all the money, all the resources, all the responsibility. But I the way I think of all, and maybe we can extend the statement, you can have it all too. You can have it all. You can have everything that serves your highest good.
Well, you can have everything that doesn't serve your highest good too. It doesn't, that's, you can have it either direction, yes, or a combination of both. But I think that's why I want to spend a minute here and really get clear on, from your perspective, what is have it all? Let's just put a definition to it in a way, because what I'm hearing now is have it all is ultimately, like I was actually talking about in the book, having it all is about access to potential, access to my potential, access to all of the potential that exists for me, because that potential is going to be different for you based on your beliefs, based on your upbringing, based on your experience, blah, 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 blah. But so that's where I'm tending to go with it. But again, I'm not sure if I'm spiritually deflecting away from the reality of what it is by calling it something else. You know what I mean? So I'm going to stop. I want to let you take that. Actually, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to ask you to take care of that when you come back. Does that sound all right?
Sure.
All right. We will be back in just a moment. Guys, we are back. Thank you very much. And again, pre-orders are available, www.adventuresintruth.com. Head over there. You can, there are links to Amazon and to Barnes & Noble. And we're back to carry on this fabulous conversation about what it is. What is have it all? Tell us, Moshe, what is it? Because I'm in a conundrum.
What comes up when I dive into the answer to that question, it's really about removing obstacles and getting rid of resistance. So our natural state is to have it all. And that's where it ties into your more spiritually oriented definition of having the capacity or access to our full potential. So I would add the word realization. It's not just access, it's realizing.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Realizing our full potential. So my all is different than your all. And I think that's the point that can clarify this. There's not one absolute. Mm-hmm. When you have it all, here's your list of assets that you can show. It's your all is different than my all. And in everyone's all, there's probably similar aspects. There's an aspect of wealth. There's an aspect of relationship. There's an aspect of success, spiritual growth for many, and so on. But what it looks like is different. My all, how I would define my all in terms of money, is different than yours, different than everybody else's. Yeah. So I think this eases up a little when we think of all as a relative term. tied into what you were saying, individual potential.
Yeah, I like that. As you're talking, I'm reflecting on the importance of seeing the difference between this question from the ego perspective or this question from the soul perspective, and how powerfully they don't talk to each other. And it's really, and I think that's why the stuff about the current administration and the current state of affairs really played into this a bit, is the same idea of the two realities have no commonness in the realities. That if that ego, in that ego focus, there is only resistance and angst and not enoughness and less than and all of those concepts that we talked about. And even if you're a pleasant person and even if you're a nice person, the driving force of that ego is all about lack. It's all about that not enoughness. And the other perspective, that definition that you just gave, I think speaks to clearly, we are here to have it all. We are here to experience it all. We are here to access it all. And we have to take the steps to get there from here. But those steps won't happen via the ego. And they will happen when your choices are how you build your daily practice, how you manage your breath, how you manage your energy. That becomes, and the two are in some ways intertwined, but when it comes down to it, just like the book says, fear is a choice. The answer is a choice. So the dichotomy that I experience in my own experience simply points out that there are two aspects of my being, my ego and my soul. In this moment, I have the ability to choose which focus I want to have. I don't have to have that focus. I'm aware of how I would interact in that focus because I just shared it with you. I just shared the internal mechanism and all that gooey, yucky, sticky energy and angsty energy that I couldn't control in it. Does that make sense? I even said to Moshe, did you see me? I was like, I could feel the ooze of it coming out of me. And then boom, flip to the other side. There's no ooze, there's no sticky. There's the sticky stuff is here. It's to my left, which is wherever I have it stored for whatever reason. But the cool thing is now I have a choice. And that choice is, where is my energy going? And once I focus here and there, then this begins to fill my vision. And that is no longer there. So this is really awesome and really cool that I love how you took that definition and stayed clean in it and used the words about potential and because then have it all is of course we can have it all.
Yeah.
Of course, there would be no other reason to be here. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, unless you think the reason to be here is to be born, and, you know, go through the cattle chute, as it were.
That shift in your energy is extraordinary to witness, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
And that soul versus ego perspective, I think, is really valuable. And I want to point out to your listeners and viewers that what you just did, that starting with the awareness of the ego side and the acceptance of it and the articulation of it, and then the letting go, the surrendering of it, the letting it go and saying it's over there to my left if I need it. And so it's everything from seeing it to releasing it without any judgment and just letting it unfold. That's, I can say, as when I did the energy work with you and I was a client, that's what you do.
Yeah.
That you help people move through that process that you just took yourself through. So I want listeners and viewers to know it's available to them, to whatever, wherever they are stuck, whether it's about have it all or prosperity or abundance or relationships or happiness, whatever it is, that your gift, Jim, is to help people with that awareness and the acceptance and ultimately the release. Mm-hmm. make space for that soul perspective to come in.
You're so awesome. I'm sitting here with goosebumps and I'm all emotional and
well, that's what you do.
Yeah, but I think the emotion is that I don't think about it a lot. I don't see it a lot. And this, you here in this venue doing this, I literally got to see it happen from beginning to end. And I don't normally do that. I don't normally watch that because I'm just in the moment of whatever's going on. And for whatever reason, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. but anyway. So good stuff. This is also understanding is part of the release that happens when you don't resist any of it, because the energy can just move and the energy can just transform, because I don't want to fight. I don't need a fight. I'm not interested in a fight. I'm interested in change. I'm interested in this being the happiest place I can be, the most joyous place I can be. And that release for me is joyous. That experience for me is joyous. And to get to see the arc of it from beginning to end in 25 minutes is just ridiculously validating and just ridiculously extraordinary that I get to be here and do this. It just, you know, I could go on for hours about that. So my appreciation and deep gratitude for walking this with me. So let's talk a little bit more in how to shift that, or is there a need to talk about it more? Do we need more detail about walking that shift, or should we just spend some time talking about how to embrace and expand the energy of have it all?
Yeah, it feels complete to me.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, it does. And it's funny because when I was putting the show together, I take the topic and then I sit with it. And then I think about what would be interesting viewpoints of this topic. And particularly in our conversations, these conversations with Moshe, as we have talked about, I like Moshe to drive the conversation because that's what they were always about. It was something that Moshe brought to the table and we would have these conversations. And so I'm coming into this and particularly this particular one, I think I only came up with two segments for the whole show because I didn't know where it was going to go. I could just feel it. And even in the ad that I originally put out, I think I said something about rattling some paradigms was just felt like this was, I was going to like come at this and like, you know, it's going to be this crash, this powerful like thing. And it has been, and again, but not the way I had envisioned it. Just the energy was right, but my imagination was wrong. I shouldn't say whether it was my imagination or my mind, but it's another good example of how the mind just creates whatever it wants. Its whole purpose is to support whatever your predominant viewpoint is. And if my predominant viewpoint is have it all is not a great thing, then it went about its business of showing me why. and that's in and of itself is a whole other fascinating story that we can get into at another point. So what shall we do with our last 5 minutes here to bring this topic home?
I think if you can, well, it's moving a little bit. Well, I see a couple of things. One is we stay directly on this topic. The other is unpack a little bit of one part of it where I think a lot of people get particularly stuck. And what you demonstrated so beautifully was how when your ego is dominating, you let it give it enough of a voice that it can move out of you. I guess I don't have better words than that. I think a lot of us don't know how to do that.
So because we tend to be in reaction to.
Yeah, we either push it down or we react to it and judge ourselves, or we or we think it's true. And sorry, yeah, that's stupid. What a stupid idea. That's ridiculous. I'm going to go fight that. So yeah. I suggest
which is interestingly still an ego perspective. That's an amazing thing to talk about, because we are so entrained into the idea. I'm going to take a step back here, another book that's in process and a concept that I believe very powerfully is an understanding of the ego that's different than what is commonly understood. My perspective of the ego is the consciousness that was born with my body. It is the consciousness that animates. It's the thing that manages all those things we don't pay attention to, all the things we don't need to pay attention to, because it's taking care of itself. And over time, we have given that ego structure the keys to the kingdom, as it were. And part of that is because of the excessive stimulation of fear in our culture. But in my way of thinking, this ego structure that's here to keep the body on the planet, and that's its whole job, is to keep this vehicle on the planet. So it's using the five senses to filter the environment, to make sure that it's safe at any given juncture. The challenge with it is it also has access to the warehouse of all the data and information that you've accumulated forever. And when you encounter something that appears to be a threat, according to your belief system, according to the structures you have put in place over your lifetime, the ego then responds by bringing forward as much supportive information of that belief as possible to support you in staying alive, because the belief is that you won't if you don't. It's a threat to your safety. In the ego's mind, it's not a threat to survival, it's a threat to safety. So it wants to be sameness equals safety. So that ego part of us, that's like, to me, what's happened over time is we've taken the keys to a multi-billion-dollar business and handed it to an 8-year-old and said, go for it, baby, you got this. And imagine the results, not good. So that demonization over time is what we fight with within ourselves. And when you recognize that all of the noise is just like the kid in the other room playing with his toys, and he happens to hear mom say, I love chocolate or something. And so his whole world he can turn Legos into chocolate. He can turn dirt into chocolate. He can, it does all of these things that are just stuff. It's not anything. It's just, I'm just trying to support this idea, right? And I don't want to get too far afield, and I think I am, so I'm going to pull it back here. Just realize that the reaction that you have is a process of instilled demonization of a part of yourself that you gave power to, that doesn't want the power you gave it because it doesn't know what to do with it. So if you recognize that the ego is just there to support, then you can address it as a support mechanism. And it's going to have all of its drama, but you don't have to play in the drama. You can simply observe the drama and be informed by what it is you're trying to understand. And when you're not afraid of it, then you don't resist it. When you don't have fear of it being the ugly part of yourself, you don't resist it. And when you don't resist it, it transforms because it has to. Because where I put my focus, remember from earlier, I had the choice. And I said, I'm putting my focus here and I'm expanding that choice. That's all I see now. I know that's still there. And that's processing out. And I felt that energy change. But I've changed my perspective, so I don't have to play there. And it's going to come up again, and those energies in different ways will show up again. And that's okay. Observe them, interact with them, allow them to shift and change. I hope that didn't go like way far afield. Did that go way far afield?
No. Okay. No. Yeah. And that demonization thing, that was pretty powerful.
Yeah. And imagine, just think about it in terms of just self to self. If you're demonizing an aspect of yourself within yourself, how can that be at all remotely healthy or supportive of anything? Because again, you're just placing more resistance. You're pushing against, which means it's going to come harder because that's the law of the universe. That's the law of attraction. What you focus on is what you get. So, yep. Yeah. So again, it's not a bad wrong thing. It's just be willing to be with you. and know that we all have those. That's all the darkness. It's all the shadow. It's all the other, you know, whatever you want to call it. But it isn't anything less than all of who you are. And if you want to have it all, then you got to accept it all.
Woohoo!
And right there, we're done. How about that? That's pretty beautiful. What a great show. Thank you, Moshe.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. I have to take us to the end of the show. And I do this every week. And I found it. Moshe, thank you for being here. Guys, www.theamariwave.com. Get Moshe's book. It's incredible. It's good. And it speaks to so many wonderful things about how we can shift the business model in a way that's supportive and, again, releasing resistance. www.adventuresandtruth.com. Check me out. Check out my book, Fears of Choice. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Have a great day. Thanks, Moshe.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.